and thank you. There's just so much to bless you and thank you for. And so, Father, thank you for the message that we have before us, even Thanksgiving message, and just remembering what it is that you've done for us and thanking you for it. So, Father, just bless our time as we open up your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, music team. Awesome. If you will open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 103. With Thanksgiving week upon us here, we're going to depart from our series in 1 Peter and focus on giving thanks to God. Psalm 103, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the first 13 verses. Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him." Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for, well, what you communicate to us in this psalm. But Lord, my prayer here this morning is that as we count our blessings, and many of them are listed right here in this psalm, Lord, that we would come to you and praise you with a sincere heart, as John had prayed. And Lord, that we wouldn't be, well, ungrateful. That we wouldn't fail to recognize who you are and who you are in our life, but would come to you and humbly recognize your greatness and be thankful for it. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I really do enjoy, you know, I'll just be honest with you here. Not that I lie to you often, okay? But there are certain annual topics that I hit on that sometimes they're a struggle. Christmas is one of those. Looking at Christmas or coming up with a fresh sermon for Christmas every single year. I do enjoy it, but it's difficult. And I bring that up because this one isn't. Every year, the week before Thanksgiving, I like to give a Thanksgiving-themed sermon. And it's never difficult. It's always very, very easy for me to come up with reasons to praise God. In fact, that's exactly what our subject is this morning. It's a reminder really for us this week in particular to just stop our normal day-to-day things and mentally, with our whole heart, take an inventory. Take an inventory of what God has done in our life, is doing in our life, and really will do in our life. Now, for many of us, the word inventory comes with some rather negative connotations. If you've ever worked for a business, inventory it is not a pleasure. Years ago, I worked for a furniture store, and once a year, we would take a full day, an entire day, and do an inventory of every stick of furniture and household goods in the entire store and warehouse. And I will tell you that it was not my favorite day of the year. We started early in the morning, and we didn't go home until it was complete. And sometimes it was very, very late at night. It was a huge job, a fatiguing job. And the worst part about it is after a day like that, as soon as you close your eyes and you're in your bed, you're still counting. You're still counting, all right? So taking inventory can have some negative connotations to it. And I know that's the case for many, but I want you to know that counting your blessings should not be that way. I hope it isn't. In fact, if you're doing it right, if you're counting your blessings right, it will be invigorating. It will be exciting. It will be joyous. It will be humbling. And so this morning, I want to look actually at about six different categories of blessings. As believers in Jesus Christ, it is exciting, even humbling, as we count and look back at what God has done in our life. As we count and look at those things that he's accomplishing right now. And of course, we have his promises to look forward to. So it really is no surprise, or it should be no surprise, that the third largest book in the entire Bible consists of 150 songs all about praising God. Praising God. That is why Matt Redman. I knew I'd do that. You guys know who Matt Redman is? He's the guy that wrote the song that we just sang. At least I think he wrote it. 10,000 reasons. That is why he can write a song about 10,000 reasons to praise God. And not even come close to exhausting the subject. That is why there is a whole genre of contemporary Christian music called praise music. As God's children, as we inventory our lives, we can recognize the exciting, joyful, humbling things that God is doing in our life. We can count our blessings. And so this morning, so that we might better recognize our blessings. And I'll tell you, some of them are easy to recognize, some of them not so much. But that we might better recognize our blessings and get an accurate count of the ways God blesses us. I've got six categories for you. This is not exhaustive. These are categories. The only reason I put them in these categories is to help us remind us, oh yeah, that's a blessing too. That's a blessing too. And in turn, we can now properly give our God the thanks that are due him. Now, the definition of a blessing is it's the enjoyment of God's divine favor. That really is what a blessing is. It's the enjoyment, our enjoyment of God's divine favor to us. And right in that definition, we immediately find, because it's divine favor, we don't deserve it, any of it. We don't deserve any of it, but we get to enjoy his grace toward us. Blessings, really, they aren't just about having more stuff, and since sometimes they are, but it's being able to enjoy all that we have from our Lord. And so our subject this morning is count your blessings, and using Psalm 103 as kind of our starting point here this morning, the very first category of blessings that I want us to look at are those blessings of provision. Blessings of provision. And this is probably the easiest category for us to think about and think of things for which to be thankful. Psalm 103 actually lists the provisions of health, food, strength, mercy, forgiveness, grace, redemption. And this, again, is probably the easiest category for us to think about and count those things. But it is also one of the easiest for us to neglect. See, these are all things that we can take for granted. Our health, our food, our strength, our jobs, our homes, our families, the sunrise, the air we breathe, the water we drink, forgiveness, grace, mercy, redemption. Daily Bread devotional, they had a devotional that touched on this taking things for granted. It said, in the final major historic acts of the Old Testament, as described by Ezra and Nehemiah, as God allowed the people of Israel to finally return from exile, finally resettle in their homeland in Jerusalem, the city of David. It was repopulated again, finally, with Hebrew families. The temple was rebuilt. The wall was repaired. But God, through Malachi being a contemporary of Ezra and Nehemiah, talking about all of these things that God is doing. Malachi says this, and this is God speaking to Israel in Malachi. He says, I have loved you. I have loved you, says the Lord. And he's telling that this is why you're back in your city. This is why Hebrew families are repopulating. This is why your temple's rebuilt. This is why the walls are back up. And in Malachi, we see God's blessings, God's blessings toward them. And this, in Malachi, was their response. As God says, I have loved you. This is their response. How have you loved us? They'd forgotten already. They were taking it for granted already. They had just received the blessing of coming back home after hundreds of years in exile, reuniting a nation by God's provision. And they were already wondering, how, Lord, how have you loved us? God's blessings of provision are some of the easiest for us to recognize, but they are also some of the easiest for us to neglect and take for granted. Take some time this week. Count those blessings of provision. Even the simple things. If you go to your bathroom and you turn on the water and water comes out, thank God. Thank God for that. If you step outside over the next week, supposed to get cold this next week, and you're shivering, you go back into your house and it's warm, thank God for that. These are blessings of provision. Blessings of provision. Thank the Lord for his physical provision. In Colossians 1:16 and 7, it says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth. And then it goes on at the end of verse 17 and says, in him all things consist. In other words, not only has he provided it for us, but he's the reason it all works and continues to work. He's the reason we exist. He's the reason that we live, eat, breathe, move. He's the reason we have any health at all, any friends at all, any money at all, any physical blessings at all. He is the reason. Thank Him. Thank Him for His physical provision. And of course, thank the Lord for His spiritual provision. By God's provision, He sent His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, our sin bearer. He paid the penalty for our sin for us, and then He rose from the dead, thus proving the debt had been paid, accepted by the Father, and was sin's debt paid. Salvation was offered to you, is offered to you freely and available as a gift, and it's received by simply faith, trusting in what Christ has done for us. Ephesians 1:3 says He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Psalm 103 verse 3 again says He forgives all our iniquities. Verse 4, He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far He's removed our transgressions from us. Thank the Lord through Jesus Christ for His blessings of provision. Secondly, this morning, second category, blessings of prosperity. These are those things that are beyond the oxygen in the air, beyond turning that handle and well, that actually is that. For a lot of the world, okay, we're prosperous to be able to turn on a handle and water comes out into a sink. But these are those things that are beyond provision. And I think I've got this verse, Psalm 35:27. You turn there if it doesn't come up there. But it says, let them shout for joy and be glad, who favor my righteousness. God speaking to us, who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. He wants to lavish goodness upon us. And so thank Him for those blessings of prosperity. God does love to give good things beyond our necessities. He takes pleasure in rewarding us with things that we just don't deserve. While we worship in a room that is comfortable in temperature, amplified sound, cushioned seats, Bibles in our hands, a roof over our heads, without fear of arrest. There are many in the world who have none of those things. None of those things. And I don't believe that this should bring us guilt, but rather I believe it should most definitely cause us to be thankful, to look upon the things and the freedoms that we have. Be grateful to God for those things. Thank the Lord for material prosperity. We have a painting at home on the wall in our living room, and its only purpose is to hang there. That's what it does. That's all it does. To hang there and pleasure me when I look at it. Wow. That is prosperity. That is material prosperity. Thank the Lord for that. And of course, thank the Lord for spiritual prosperity. He has blessed us, Ephesians 1 says, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 7 of that same Ephesians chapter says, in Him we have redemption through the blood, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He gives that to us. He prospers us spiritually. We have everything and more that we need to live a Christ-like, a God-honoring life. Thank the Lord for spiritual prosperity. We are both materially and spiritually prosperous. Thank the Lord for that. Think about some of those things this week. Thank Him for blessings of provision, blessings of prosperity. Thirdly, blessings of promise. Blessings of promise. These are those things that we can count on from the Lord. In fact, Psalm 119 verses 89 through 91 says, forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven. In other words, we can count on it. We can count on this being exactly what we need. We can count on this being true. Let me continue. Forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to Your ordinances, for all are Your servants. God's word, God's promises, they are as sure as gravity. As confident and comfortable as you are right now that you will not suddenly just float off. That's how confident that we can be in God's promises. As confident and comfortable as you are right now that the earth will continue to revolve around the sun. That is how confident and comfortable you can be with God's promises to you. In fact, according to this passage that I just read in Psalm 119, according to this passage, God's word is even more faithful than gravity and the earth's orbit, because it is God's word and His faithfulness to it that established those things. The universe does what it does because God told it to. And that is how confident we can be in our God and His promises to us. Our passage said, Your word is settled. It's done. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. What we read here, what we learn about God and about us is to all generations. It's accurate. God kept it for us. We can be confident and comfortable in God's promises. Thank the Lord for His promises of the present. By my estimation, there are at least 2,000 verses of Scripture. I didn't count them. I estimated. But at least 2,000 verses of Scripture that proclaim God's promises to His children. Here are just a few concerning the present. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you or forsake you. I don't know what you're going through right now, but that is a promise of God. He will not leave you, and He certainly won't abandon you. Here's another one. Hebrews 4:16 says He will help in time of need. James 1 says He will never change. Acts 1 says, He will empower us. We as believers can speak to Him and know that He hears us. That promise even goes further as Jesus Himself says, listen to this promise. If you ask anything in My name, I will do it. In other words, if we ask for anything that Jesus would want for us, all right, this excludes sin, obviously. But if we ask for anything at all that Jesus would want for us, He will do it. That is a promise of the present. Thank God for that. Thank the Lord for His promises of the future. Here are just a few. Strength for tomorrow. Eternal life. Inheritance in heaven. No more perishing. No more condemnation. No more judgment. No wrath for those who believe. In fact, listen to this passage. In fact, I'll read a couple passages to you. Just listen. John 10:28. This is Jesus speaking to those of us who have placed our faith in Him for eternal life. He says, And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand. Revelation 21:4, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That's a promise in our future. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent or change His mind. As He said, He will do. He will do. Thank Him for His promises. Here's the fourth category. Blessings of probation. These are those blessings that come disguised as a trial or a test. That's really what probation is. And with these, we oftentimes do not recognize the blessing until we're beyond the trial. But even as we're going through those trials that God allows in our life, we can and should be thankful to Him that He's allowing it. Because He only and always has our best at heart. He wants us to come through the other side better than we entered, more trusting in Him than when we entered. In Psalm 26, verse 1, it says this. It says, Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in My integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. And then verse 7 of that same psalm says, That I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all Your wondrous works. In other words, Lord, I'm giving You this trial. I'm in the midst of it right now. I'm trusting in You. And when I come out the other side, I'm going to tell everybody about what You did. I'm going to tell everybody about what You did. In 2 months, it will be 2 years since we pulled the trigger on our building project. It has tested our patience. It has tested our resolve. It has tested our unity. It has tested our understanding. It has tested our faith. But praise the Lord. We're seeing the results. We're seeing blessings. In fact, with each day that passes, our patience grows. With each day that passes, our unity grows. With each day that passes, we get closer to a new place to worship and praise our God. With each day that passes, we have come to realize, and we went through this with the first building project, but we're being reminded again, with each day that passes, we come to realize that this project is exactly on schedule. God's schedule. And we wouldn't have it any other way. So thank the Lord for allowing us to go through trials, because it is these trials, these tests, it is these times of probation that provide that opportunity to grow, to increase our faith. Thank God. Whatever it is you're going through, maybe you're in a time of trial or probation right now. Thank God in that. Thank the Lord for growing our patience. James 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Thank the Lord for growing our understanding in James as well, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, not lacking or lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. He will give us wisdom through these times. And then thank the Lord for growing our faith in him. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try my mind and my heart, that I may proclaim with my voice thanksgiving to you. Thanksgiving, and tell of all your wondrous works. Here's the fifth category. Blessings of punition. Punition is, well, like punishment. Only it has a different purpose. It's not just punishment. Punition is discipline. It's correction. That's what it is. It's the righting of a wrong pursuit or a wrong direction. And there are blessings that come in the form of God's discipline. I had in my mind a direction that I wanted to go when I was in my early 30s, and I pursued it with all my heart. Well, God corrected me, and I can tell you, I am so thankful. I am here with you today because of God's correction in my life. I mean, as a pastor. And these, I want you to know that these might be our least favorite of all. These might be our least favorite blessings. In fact, we might not even want to call them a blessing sometimes. But we must, because these are sometimes the most beneficial blessings of all. Have you ever noticed that the questions that you got wrong on an exam are typically the ones that you learned the most from? I think back to my time in Bible college. I couldn't tell you any specifics of questions on tests that I got right. I just know I got them right. But those that I got wrong, those that I needed correction in, the right answer is now locked in. It is there. Along those same lines, the discipline that I received from my parents taught me much more about life than those things that I perhaps naturally did right and nothing was said. Now, don't take this the wrong way and set out to do things wrong just because I really want to learn this, okay? Don't do that. The idea here is that correction, discipline, it's a blessing. Thank God for it. For without it, we would just continue in error. Think about those times in your Christian walk where God convicted you of a sin, perhaps allowed you to get caught in that sin, and it changed the direction of your life. Thank Him for that. Punition happens because the Lord cares. That's why it happens. He cares. Discipline is what one does to those that he loves. Proverbs 13:24, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him, corrects him. Thank the Lord that he cares. And punition happens because the Lord corrects. Hebrews 12:11, it says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Thank the Lord for those punitive blessings. So we've been counting our blessings this morning through the categories of provision, prosperity, promise, probation, punition. But as we come to our last category, I'm going to close with this. It must be noted that the only reason that we can count any of the above blessings is because of this last category. And we're going to close with this. The sixth and final category is blessings of privilege. And here's what I mean by that. In fact, I got two verses for you. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. 1 John 3:1 says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. We're God's children. He loved us that much that he made us his children, and all we had to do was trust in his son. That is mind-blowing. And now we have eternal life with him in eternal blessings with no more pain, no more crying, no more trials. We're with him forever rather than without him forever with eternal pain, eternal trials, eternal crying. What a privilege God has given us. The privilege of being his child through the work of Christ on the cross, our trusting him, we have become part of God's family forever. The privilege of prayer. The privilege of prayer. The fact that while we still live in this sin-cursed world, full of trials, full of pain, full of crying, that we can go to our Father in our time of need and ask for help, and he will help us. That we can go to him on behalf of somebody else who has a need and ask for help, and he will move for their benefit in accord with his will. What a privilege that we have. We can actually alter the course of other people through the privilege of prayer. And then there's the privilege of being blessed. I know it's redundant, but through his provision, through his prosperity, through his promises, probation, his punition, we are blessed in all of it. And therefore, we have the privilege of praise. Because we are His children, we can rightfully thank Him, honor Him. What an honor. You know, we live in a time right now, and so many in the church have become ingrates. They take these things for granted or ignore them altogether and do their own thing. My plea to you is this week, go through these categories, maybe even take an inventory, write a list, and prayerfully thank God for those things. We've looked at a few categories. I pray that we might do that sometime this week. And I think if we do, we'll find it humbling. We'll find it inspiring. We'll find it joyous. We'll find it exciting. We may even want to tell somebody else what we've discovered as we took inventory. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Father, we thank You for this morning. Thank You for this psalm that has launched us into this time of praise. And I'm thankful for those that have come here this morning. I'm thankful for the reminder to them and to myself of the varied ways in which You bless us. You don't have to, but You do. And it's because You love us. And Lord, I love You. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.